The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Have you ever noticed that sometimes life just feels easier, especially when judgment of you or anyone else ceases to exist? What if you could function from that space all the time? What if gratitude is the key? Every time you are grateful for someone or something, a new universe opens up. What difference can you create in your life and the world from the energy, space, and consciousness of gratitude? Here are the hosts of Beyond Saying Thank You.
So hello, everybody, and welcome so very much to this episode of Beyond Saying Thank You. I'm your host today. My name is Susanna Mittermeier, and I gotta tell you, I'm a happy girl. I'm usually a happy girl, but today I'm especially happy because I have a fab person here with me today. He is a friend, a colleague. His name is Dr. Dane Heer. He is the co-creator of Access Consciousness, and he travels the world. He's facilitating classes. He changes the lives of thousands and thousands of people. And you know, that's just part of his brilliance. And I remember I met Dane years ago for the first time, and it was an Access Consciousness class with Gary Douglas, who is the founder of Access Consciousness. And at the same time that Gary had the class, I had a session with Dane, and it was at a point in my life when I was living everybody else's life but not mine, and I knew it, but I didn't really have the trust in changing it or knowing how to change it. So the session with Dane showed me that I have choice and that the world wouldn't end if I would choose me, but only limitations would. So I'm really, really happy to have you here, Dane. Welcome so very much to the show.
Susanna, thank you so much for having me. I am excited. I'm thrilled to be here. Because you're fun.
So are you. So today's topic, we do have a topic, and I'm the host. I'm supposed to know that. So let me see. So the topic today is everything you think is wrong, the greatness of you. And we talk about that a lot in Access Consciousness, you know, where we say the strong that is hiding behind the wrong. And that's been a particular fun topic for me to find out, because I thought my whole life that I was wrong. And then, you know, starting to ask questions about the strong that's hiding there, that was a bit confusing for me in the beginning. And what shows up when you start asking questions, oh my God, world, watch out. So Dane, I know you are in the greatness business. So tell us, you know, when people think they're wrong, how do they start with getting out of there and, you know, opening the doors to something different?
Well, I think recognizing it first, you know, the thing that you're referring to, you know, I first heard Gary Douglas say it when he said, you know, what if every wrongness of you is actually a strongness of you? And it just so hit the nail on the head, because what happens is everything that's great about you is everything that's different about you than everybody else. It's the ways in which you do things differently. It's the ways in which you're not like everybody else, which the people that have truly changed the world have embraced what everybody else thought was wrong about them. You know, if you take Einstein, it's like he had these brilliant awarenesses and brilliant ideas and brilliant concepts of the way things could be, should be, and ought to be, and how the world could work. And because he was willing to do that, even though that was considered a wrongness by everybody else at the time, he changed the face of the world. You know, he changed the face of physics. And one of the interesting things is he's quoted more often as a philosopher than he is as a physicist at this point, you know, because he, in tapping into what everybody else said was wrong about him, he went, wait a minute, no, this is where our beauty lies. This is where our brilliance is. And if you can start to recognize that and just ask yourself, hey, what is it I've decided is a wrongness of me that's actually a strongness of me? And if I didn't look at it as a wrongness anymore, what else could I choose?
Wow, that's awesome. And, you know, when you talk about Einstein, I thought like, oh, man, how many people are waiting until they're, you know, until they're dead before they can be, you know, acknowledged, but all they're looking for is actually validation.
Exactly. You know, I think it's too many lifetimes of being a starving artist. You know how artists only make money once they're dead, you know. But it's like, it's exactly it. It's like, how many people are actually waiting till they're dead so they can be as different as they are and have it be accepted, rather than, wait a minute, you know what? There is something that's different about me, and I'm going to live as that difference even if nobody else gets it. And that's one of the greatest gifts I think we can give ourselves is, I'm going to live as the difference I am, even if nobody else gets it. I'm going to stop looking to try to homogenize myself and make me fit in with everybody else, because we all know that the only time we're having any fun anyway is when we're not trying to fit in with anybody else.
Mm-hmm. So true. So true. So the thing with the difference, you know, many people think that, oh, difference is when I'm woohoo, I'm out there, I'm having red hair, and I'm, you know, whatever it is. It's like this, look at me, difference. But that's not what we're talking about, right?
No, that's definitely not. Well, what's also interesting about that is I was in college, and I was with my girlfriend at the time, and there were these people who had decided that they were different than everybody else. You know, they were vegetarian, and they all had they literally all had red hair of one form or another that they had dyed themselves, you know, and they were like, no, we're different, and we smoke pot, and nobody else does, and we are different. And I looked at all of them. There were some like eight of them there, and they all looked and sounded and talked exactly the same. They all said the exact same things. They all had a version of each other's red hair, but they were different. And I'm like, wait a minute. There's nah, you're all the same different. That's not different, you know? And I'll never forget that, because it struck me. And I always remember looking at that and going, that's what people are trying to do, even in their difference, is try to be different with somebody else, as though them being who they are that is unique is somehow a wrongness. And the thing that we're talking about is the difference that you are as a being, the difference that you are, like, for example, if you care more than other people, that's different, but that's a greatness. If you have a level of kindness and a level of willingness and desire to contribute to people, that's different, but that's a greatness. Those are the kinds of things that we're talking about, or those weird, quirky ways you have of seeing the world that nobody else gets that are funny or entertaining only to you. That's a greatness. That's a difference. And those are the things that if we start to embrace them, just make our life so much more fun.
So then it's like when you try to prove that you're different, then you somehow already have decided that you're the same.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and one of the things that we say a lot in Access is, hey, you always try to prove the opposite of what you believe or have decided is true about you. So when you're trying to prove you're different, it's because you've already decided you're the same. And trying to prove you're different is totally different than being different. See, being different is where you just get to be whatever you happen to be, however that is. And you don't care if anybody notices. You don't need to shove it in anybody's face. You're just like, nope, this is me. I'm different. And you just get to be it.
That's so cool, because there's a joy and a peace in it. When you just, you know, okay, I'm just being. And then what everybody else thinks is not that relevant anymore. You know, like doing so much Access, I don't really get what's so cool about being the same anymore. But it's this suck, and not in a good way. It's this, you know, in being the same and like everybody else, that's just really fascinating to, you know, when you have that tug or suck yourself, you're like, oh, wow. You know, what's so sexy about being the same as everybody else? You know, what am I doing here? Whose life am I living? And that is something that I so much got when I met you for the first time and we had that session, really acknowledging that, oh, my God, I've been living everybody else's life but not mine. And just knowing that there is a choice for something different. And when I started to, you know, go on that adventure – what showed up was that if I look for the greatness of me within this reality, I will not find it, because I would go, okay, so what's considered great in this reality? Well, it's having a lot of money, it's having a husband or wife, depending, you know, and it's all those things that you're supposed to achieve, and when you achieve them, you're great. So if I look for that within this reality, I will never find it. So the cool thing is with Access Consciousness and all those tools to go, okay, so what if I really ask a question? So what greatness am I that I haven't acknowledged yet? So we're going to take a little break here, please. Thank you.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.
You are listening to Beyond Saying Thank You, presented by Access Consciousness. To join in today's conversation, call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to radio@beyondsayingthankyou.com. Now, back to Beyond Saying Thank You.
So welcome, everybody, after the break to Beyond Saying Thank You. My name is Susanna Mittermeier. I'm here with Dr. Dane here. Cool. So, we talked about you, like, what did you explore and what came up for you when you started on that journey of finding the greatness of you?
Well, that's the thing is, for me, what happened was, I think I'm probably similar to probably thousands of people who come to Access and gotten a similar thing, which was, wow, it's okay to be me. Mm-hmm. I mean, the number of people who sent me emails either after attending an intro class or reading the last book that I wrote called Being You, Changing the World, it's like, I can't tell you, I've gotten over 100 emails saying this one thing after the Being You, Changing the World book came out, which was, thank you, I know I'm not alone, and I know I'm not wrong for being me now. And the number of people who've literally said, I want to thank you because I was contemplating ending my life because I couldn't deal with the fact that I was so different, and I realized I'm not the only weirdo on the planet now. And, you know, and it's like, that's the thing that I think if that's the gift that we can receive from having other people around us that embrace their differences, we realize, okay, we can embrace ours too. And for me, that's what I got when I came to Access too. It was like, somehow in the way that Gary delivered it, and somehow in the way that he wrote everything that was written, it was like, hey, you know what? You're not wrong. You are different, absolutely. In fact, you're double D. You're definitely different. But you're not wrong. That's part of the greatness of you. And it started really making me recognize in my world, wow, okay, everything I've been judging myself for is, and look at this, everybody listening, you might notice that it's possible that everything you've been judging yourself for and every place you've been judging yourself in your life is a place that you're different than other people. And wow. This was the case for me. And I went, oh, my God, this is everything in every place I've been judging myself. I'm not going to do that anymore. And that day I made the demand I was going to change it, and it has changed dynamically since then.
Wow, that is so cool. And you know, that allowance of being that you say, Gary, is being for the world, you're being that too for the world. And that's, you know, that's what you be, what you facilitate, your classes, the Being You, Changing the World book, that's out in many different languages, by the way, German and Estonian, and what else do we have?
We have German, we have Estonian, we have Swedish, we have Italian, we have Spanish, and another one that I can't remember. But thank you, and thank you for that. But, you know, it's like I wrote it because I wanted to be able to be that. I wanted people to have that thing it took me so many years to find access. I wanted other people to be able to find it faster and know that it's okay, not only okay to be that difference, but it truly is. It's the brilliance of you. It's the greatness of you, and it's everything that you've been judging you for. Please come out of the judgment of you.
That's such a big thing, you know, the judgment of you and finding the strong behind the wrong. So one of the things I remembered, I used to judge myself a lot for when I am with other people, let's say at dinner, I would be very quiet, which is really hard to believe when you see me in other situations. But when I'm in dinners with people, normal, or people who try to pretend they're normal, I usually am very quiet or say nothing at all. And I used to judge myself a lot for that and go, what's wrong with me? I'm boring. I need to be entertaining. And, you know, come on, say something. And there would just be nothing that comes out of my mouth. And then starting to, you know, having this muscle built, which is called ask a question, I started to ask, okay, so cool. So if this is not a wrongness, what's the strong? And first it was like, there's nothing right about it. It's like, what do you mean? I'm just, you know, a boring chick and all that. And then I'm like, no, okay, let's really look at that. What am I aware of? And then that was a question like, oh, what am I aware of? And I realized that in that situation, there was actually nothing to say. So there was nothing that, you know, the other people could receive, or there was nothing required to say, or whatever it was in the different situations. And from that moment, I'm like, oh, I'm not that terrible. I'm not that boring. I'm actually having an awareness here. And acknowledging that, it was like, And that was like just one of many examples where I found, oh, that actually makes sense, the strong behind the wrong.
Yeah, and you know, when you bring that up, it one of the things I became aware of in social situations like that is most people are speaking from their tapes. You know, it's like one person says tape number 21, and then person responds to tape number 19, and somebody else responds to tape number 327 based on tape number 19, and it's like, and so there really isn't anything to say. You know, there isn't anything to say because they're not actually, most of them are not actually even being present with anything that has any value in any conversation. They're just doing social small talk. And if you start to recognize how different you are, you also start to recognize, wow, that's actually not a value to me. I don't really value that at all. And I've been judging myself completely because I can't come up with the right judgments to interject to try to get the right judgment going. But that's because you don't function from judgment. Part of the greatness of you.
That is brilliant. I love it. It's like really recognizing what's of value for you. Wow, what a great tool to include you. So, guys listening, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to be back with the greatness of you, the strong that's hiding behind the wrong, with Dr. Dane here after these messages. So that's the break.
Cool.
So, that's just, is all okay? All good?
Oh, yeah, I think it's great. How about you?
Yeah, I love it. Cool. So let's just end the break now. So
okay.
Welcome back, everybody, to Beyond Saying Thank You. I'm your host today. My name is Susanna Mittermeier, and I'm here with brilliant, fabulous Dr. Dane here. Hi, Dane.
Hi, Susanna. How could anybody ever feel bad or unhappy in your presence? I love it. Thank you. I'm going to call you when I'm feeling wrong from now on. That's what I'm going to do.
Thank you. Well, that's just likewise, totally. So the topic today is everything you think is wrong, the greatness of you. And we've been talking before the break about including you and being aware of what's of value for me? And that is a just brilliant question that Dane, you came up with. Because not many people ask that question. You like many people are aware of what is of value for other people. How am I good? How will I be a good person? How will I be judged as a nice, decent, whatever, proper person? But really, like being aware of what works for you, that's not something we've been taught in this world. So what's possible when people actually start to include themselves in their lives, and how does that work with finding the greatness of you?
Well, I think what's actually possible is looking at life, living and everything in it from a totally different place, which is, I don't know how to say it, but I think it seems to me like most people are sort of continuously searching to try to somehow find something that they believe is of value about them, or that will at least allow them not to feel so bad about themselves, rather than, what would I really like? I mean, if I could have anything, what would it be? You know, if I could choose anything in my life, if I could choose anything to create, if I could choose anything to have, what would all of these things be? And I think that's one of the things that ends up sticking us, is we spend so long trying to fit in and so much energy trying to fit in, rather than going, okay, if I were an alien that just came down to planet Earth today, what would I choose? What would I create? If I were an alien who had magic powers and could choose anything, what would I choose and what would I create? And we don't often give ourselves the freedom to not have our past with us all the time, and I think it's one of the biggest things that sticks us. And if you want to change that, here's what you do. You go, if there were no past and there were no future, and I were truly creating my life for me today, what would I choose right away? If there were no past and there were no future, and I were truly creating my life for me today, what would I choose right away? And see what shows up.
Wow. So that's the choice of just letting go of everything you've been in the past. That is such baggage releasing. And I know how I had so much resistance against that. You know, I was trained to be a clinical psychologist, and the past is extremely important to analyze, and it says so much about you, which it doesn't, but people think it does. And then you have years and years and years to analyze, which makes you a really good professional person because you have a lot to analyze and to process. And it doesn't really create any change because you always go and reference the past and to determine what's possible in the future, which is not possibility, it's actually limitations. And there you are thinking you're crazy, and you go crazy and you drive yourself crazy. So letting go of the past is just, that's so brilliant. And you could do this with anything, right?
Absolutely. And it gets you started. You know, the access clearing statement, the thing with the POC and the POD, is actually really a way of actualizing that. Because what will happen is you ask this question and it will open up a space. You'll get an awareness. You know, if I had no past, if there were no past and there were no future, and I were truly creating my life for me today, what would I choose right away? All of a sudden there's something that opens up in your world, even if it's just this tiny glimmer of a bit of a shift or a space. Well, that's basically what you'd be choosing. Well, how's that going to show up? Who knows? But what the access clearing statement does, the POC and the POD, the going back to the point of creation or the point of destruction, it literally starts actualizing that idea of, if I no longer had any limitations from my past, what could I choose? You know, and that I think is really the crux of it. I knew there was a crux and a jux, but I just wasn't sure which one was which. But I think that's really the crux of it is if I had no limitations of the past, because if you look at it, if we could function from this different place, our past could only, we would allow, imagine if we could allow our past to just be a contribution, not a limitation. But so many people are putting so much of their energy focusing back to the past, it's almost like they might as well turn around and face the direction where all of their energy is going, because for most people, right now, everybody out there, just ask yourself, how much of my energy do I have going to the past? Either try to handle something, to try to heal something, to try to change something, or to try to undo a wrongness of me. And most people, when I ask this in class, they get, you know, upwards of 70%. Some people go, oh, my God, 100,000%. I'm like, okay, we need to do something about that, you know. But if you look at that and recognize, if you just ask that question, how much of my energy is heading to the past, then you start recognizing, wait a minute, where your energy should be is it should be here right now and going to the creation of your future. And I think part of the reason so many people have such small lives in their own, by their own estimation, or not the lives they would like, because they do have so much of that energy going to the past. And I think it's time to change that now.
Oh, yes, it is. Do we have a process?
I love that idea. So what does it make so vital about possessing the wrongs of the past that keep you from creating the strongness of you as your present and future?
Brilliant.
Everything that is times a gazillion, we destroy and uncreate it, please.
Yes.
Right wrong,
good
and bad,
you go.
Hey, thanks. Sorry. I'm used to being the pod talker.
You go.
No, after you.
Okay, right, wrong, good, bad, pot, pluck, all nine shorts, toys, and beyond. Oh, that's a brilliant process. Wow, imagine if the past was not something solid anymore. So that's so much what I've been, you know, having fun with and playing with Access Consciousness and the clearing statement, because when you go and acknowledge that you have that potency to change the past because you created it, I mean, really acknowledging that you are the one who created it, so you can uncreate it. So having that potency, that's what the Access Consciousness clearing statement is for me. It's acknowledging that I have the potency to change it and that it's a choice to change it. And then the past changes, and then there's like a totally different playground to start to create from, right?
Yes, absolutely. Mm. And that's the beauty of it. When the past becomes less solid, it's like it weighs you down a lot less. Because one of the things that seems to happen for most people is they never got the idea that everything that was judgeable about them is actually a strongness. So they're back there still trying to make up for the damage done. And it weighs them down quite literally, strangely enough. There are lots of people who have a lot of excess weight and who have a lot of stiffness in their bodies that also have a lot of these blame, shame, regrets, and guilt and different things from the past that they're still holding on to and not knowing how to get resolution on. And so what this does is it frees that, and then you start to recognize, wait a minute, wow, if I no longer had any limitation from my past, you know, the way I said it initially is if I had no past, which is one way to sort of kind of like smack yourself upside the head, because you're like, wait a minute, what? Everything would be different. Yeah, of course. That's exactly why we asked the question. But then if you go in a little deeper and go, if there was no wrongness from the past, then all of a sudden you recognize, wow, I've been carrying all of the wrongnesses that I haven't resolved with me on my back and somehow trying to create a life now and then trying to create a life in the future. No wonder it's been so difficult. And that's where this clearing statement comes in, and these processes and these different things, because we want you to be able to take this home and use it on your own and be able to start creating the lightness that you deserve, that you should have.
And it's interesting that you say the back, because so many people have back pains, and especially in the lower back. And then we know, like, many times when we ask, so what's hiding, what are you hiding behind your back? You know, that's the, so when I ask that, it's like, oh, all that potency came up. And usually when I work with people, they have this, you know, the potency that they hide behind their backs, and then their backs start hurting, and then it's the all the excess weight from the past that they're carrying. So that's kind of like the, is that the physical actualization of the strong behind the wrong?
It is.
The back.
And that's the interesting part of it is that's exactly what it is. It literally is the when you talk about physical actualization, it's showing up in this reality in physical form now. And that really is what it is. And the interesting thing is, you know, like you said, when you have somebody's got back pain, you can just ask them, okay, so what are you hiding behind you? And they look at you really funny and you go, okay, everything that is, we're just trying to ungrade it? Sure, pock and pot. Okay, what are you hiding behind you? And they look at you funny again. And you destroy and create it and pock and pot it. And what are you hiding behind you? And after between 5 and 25 or 30 layers of that, all of a sudden they go, oh, wow, I didn't realize it, but I had this thing that happened when I was, you know, when I was younger. I had this thing that happened a few years ago, or I had this thing that happened last week that is still unresolved. And what happens is because we're not given the tools for handling things, because we're not taught, you know what, there's something great about you. You are so strong that no limitation is greater than you, and you can overcome anything. Mm-hmm. All you need is the tools. Because we've never been told that, and because we've never been given the tools before, what happens is we don't have ways of resolving these things that come up in our world. So what we do energetically is we go, I can't deal with that, and we put it behind us.
Oh,
I can't deal with that, and we put it behind us. And, you know, after a lifetime of doing that, it's no wonder most people have such back pain and stiffness and their bodies start falling apart. So what this does is it actually allows us an avenue to start changing all of that stuff, which I think is just one of the coolest things in the world. Because when you don't have to hide all kinds of crap behind you, life gets a lot more fun. I mean, like, kick the gorilla off your back. You know what I'm saying?
I love it. Oh, and some people have elephants sitting there. I think it's like a whole zoo.
Seriously.
On their back.
Oh, I know. Some people have a zoo on top of them, you know? It's like they've got the gorilla, and the elephant is on top of the gorilla, you know, and the flea circus on top of the elephant, and, you know, it's like, damn, let them go, people.
Oh, my God. It's like, what's your animal on your back?
So, I love it. What's your power animal? But we need to come up with another one. What's your disempowerment animal? What animal do you use to carry the weight and the pain and suffering of the world for you that you hide behind you? Tell me.
Oh, my God. Honestly, could it be funnier than that? So I've just had this. What would it take for, you know, all the therapists and people who work with people over the world to actually, instead of just looking at the symptoms, really go and ask, like, ask these questions, like, what is really going on here, rather than buying the wrong, like, what is going on here? Like, instead of assuming there's something wrong, finding out what is, that is such a great tool.
Yeah.
What would it take for this to get out there even more?
You know, in that realm, one of the things that I've discovered is, you know, people truly do the best job they can with the tools they have available.
Yeah.
For handling the situations of their lives. And nobody ever tells them that, you know. Once again, they continuously go around with this constant state of judgment of them. And with most therapists that you go to, so many times they also are buying into the point of view that there's something wrong, because you're broadcasting it so dynamically that they pick up on it energetically, and then they start looking for what's wrong with you and how you did this thing wrong and how they can help you cope with your wrongness, rather than, wait a minute, baby, I know you think you're wrong, but if you're thinking you're wrong, you must be strong. You know what I'm saying? I just figured if
brilliant.
I said it like that, people might get it, you know? But it's like, really, let's lighten this stuff up a little bit, you know? Let's bring some humor into it. Let's bring some possibilities in.
And so many therapists think they're wrong themselves. I remember when I was studying in these textbooks, and everything is so perfect there. And, you know, patient says this, and you're supposed to say this. And you're like, you're sitting there with your patient. You're like, okay, he's saying this. Okay, so when's my cue? What am I going to say? And it doesn't matter what you say. You feel so wrong. So it's like, really, what if we could bring some lightness in there? And even if you're a therapist, what if you're not wrong? What's wrong is hiding? And what can you actually facilitate for the world that you have not ever acknowledged?
Wow,
and everything doesn't allow you to know that.
Destroying greatness.
Yes.
Go for it.
Right, wrong, good, bad, pot, fuck, all nine shorts, boys, and beyond.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up about the therapist, because the thing about that is, it's like, especially in that position, you so want to do what's right. And I know we have to go to break, so I guess we can talk about that after break.
Yay! What a great, great way to start the break. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes after these messages.
What if you really do change molecules by your interaction with them? What if the change you've been looking for is right before your eyes? What if the uncomfortableness that comes with difference could be fun? What if the closed-minded people of the world no longer determined our world? What if gratitude trumps judgment every time? What if your kindness healed the world? What if the earth is asking for your help? And what if you had the resources to give it? This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Picasso, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Aristotle all knew to be true. Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. What if there are no dumb questions, or any question too large? What if you being you are the gift and the change this world requires? Is now the time? For more questions to create a change in your world, sign up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. My gift to you, beingyouclass.com.
You are listening to Beyond Saying Thank You, presented by Access Consciousness. To join in today's conversation, call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to radio@beyondsayingthankyou.com. Now, back to Beyond Saying Thank You.
So welcome, everybody, after the break to Beyond Saying Thank You. My name is Susanna Mittermeier. I'm here with Dr. Dane here. And our topic today, I've said it two times, so I should remember what's right about this. Here it is. So everything you think is wrong, the greatness of you. And Dr. Dane, you've just been starting with a brilliance. Would you like to continue what you were just on the path of saying?
Well, the thing that you brought up before the break, which was the wrongness that so many therapists feel about themselves.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because in the world that we've grown up in, a world based on judgment and right and wrong, you have to, if you feel wrong about something, you're supposed to hide it to prove that you're not bad and wrong, or you're supposed to try to prove that it doesn't actually exist. And that's such a tough position for a therapist to be in. Because here they are, they actually want to help somebody, but the only dynamic training that they've gotten has been from a textbook or a person who is steeped in judgment themselves. And like you were talking about, you know, in that world of school and that sort of thing, at least for the most, you know, the several beginning years, it's all about the perfect scenario where this person comes in and they say exactly this and you say exactly this to them, except how many times does a book on legs walk into your office? You know, it doesn't happen. Like, these are real people who've got real experiences, who've had stuff go on, who don't fit the mold, who don't fit the paradigm. And you as a therapist, if you're sitting there going, wow, I'm really wrong, no, you're not. You know what? Once again, it's like you just haven't been given the tools. And I think one of the greatest gifts that we can give ourselves as people who are facilitators of others is to actually look and go, okay, you know what? I feel like I'm not doing this right. I feel like I'm not nearly good enough. And, okay, I'll just be present with that and go to work and do my job anyway. And I'll become as great as I possibly can. And I will gather as many tools as I possibly can, create as much change as I can in people's lives that I'd really like to create. And so everything you've done out there to make, to buy the lie that you're wrong because you just don't have all the information, or because you don't have the experience, will you destroy and create it, please?
Yes. Right, wrong, good, bad.
Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Pod, pop, all nine shorts, boys, and beyond. So the cool thing is what...
Go for it. After you.
So one of the things that come up when you say that is what we've been trained to do, whatever, you know, you don't have to be a therapist for this. If you just are a parent or you are, you know, just desiring to change people's lives, empowering them, mostly, you know, you start out with wanting to help people. You know, it's even your family members, whoever that is, you are so entrained to wanting to have a result to get to, and like a certain outcome. Oh, the person needs to be happy, the person needs to be this and that, and then I have succeeded as a facilitator, as a therapist, as a parent, as a daughter, as a whatever. And then, you know, this just gets you back, like really backwards again, as we talked before, to that path of total lack and limitations, to that wrong that does not allow you to perceive and know the wrong, the strong about you, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And if you can also, you know, look at the same thing for you as a therapist, is like, hey, if there's something I'm thinking is wrong, what is the strongness that's underneath it?
Yeah.
Now, it could be if you tend to go into a lot of wrongness, especially when you're either with your patients or clients or afterwards,
It could be that the strongest there is a capacity to empathize that is just off the charts. Could be that as soon as you think about them, you start feeling everything they're feeling. Well, if you are used to looking at it as a wrongness, you go, oh, my God, I'm wrong, I'm bad, I shouldn't be doing this. But if you look at it as a strongness, what's actually underneath there as a possibility is that you can use that awareness that you're getting of exactly how they're feeling, exactly what their body posture is, exactly the way they're functioning in the world, and use that as actually a way of getting to the awareness of how to assist them, how to be able to be there with them and actually get them out of it. And that's another example of what part of the strongness is here that we've all called wrongness our whole life, is that intense level of awareness that in many cases is what made us want to become facilitators to help other people in the first place.
Yeah, it's the people who just know that they desire to change the world in whatever way you're doing that. And it's like, I remember when I was working in psychiatry, I had those moments, like before I would meet patients, that I would have these thoughts, oh, I don't want to have this session right now. I don't want to meet this person. And then first I would go, oh my God, I'm a terrible person. I'm a terrible therapist. I don't want to meet my patients. And then I would ask, so with the access consciousness, it was like one of the really major tools, like Dane mentions the awareness, you ask, who does this belong to? This is a tool that gets you from the wrong to the strong because you acknowledge what's actually going on in that situation. So I would ask, so who does this belong to? And I, you know, without getting an answer, I would meet the patient and they would say, oh, I really didn't want to come to the session today. I'm like, oh, okay. So that was what my awareness before the session. Many times I would feel like just in the morning, even if I would have the session in the afternoon, I would already like have depressed stuff coming up. I'm like, this is weird. Am I a depressed therapist trying to, you know, treat depressed people? That's not, you know, a great thing. That's not a great gig. So what else is possible? And then I ask that question, who does this belong to? Oh, who am I going to meet today? Oh, does this actually belong to me? And then time after time, I would get this acknowledgement of my awareness until I started to trust it. But that question, if you ask it over and over and over and over again, it sets you off to that path of actually starting to trust what you know, because you will get that information. Maybe not right away, maybe a couple of hours, maybe weeks, whatever it is, but what if you're patient and wait until you're shown what you've been asking to know in that situation?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if you wait, what will happen is if you don't have to go out and try to prove that you're having an awareness of something, what happens? You can sit and allow it to come to you when it will be the easiest for you to actually receive it and act on it. And that thing that you're saying, you know, the who does this belong to, you know, literally I healed myself. Between that and access bars, I healed myself of depression from that one thing, because I didn't realize that every time I wanted to go to that deep, dark place of wanting to kill myself, I was actually picking up on somebody else. And I did this, who does that belong to? And it would light, and initially the first time I did it lightened up so much I couldn't help it. And then I had a patient come in who was in 8 out of 10 back pain. And I said, let me ask you, and I'd been treating him for months, and he would go down to a 2 or 3 or 4 out of 10 and come back in the following week, and it was back at an 8 out of 10. And I got this tool from Access. Here I walk into my chiropractic office, and I go, hey, let me ask you a question. Who does this pain belong to? And he pushes himself up, and he turns around and goes, my wife! And I was like, oh, my God. I sat there with my mouth open, literally sat there with my mouth open for minutes, because I'd been working on him for 3 months, and nothing would get him out of pain that would not come back. Well, that one session, we got him out of 98% of his pain by acknowledging that it actually wasn't his. And, you know, if you're out there listening and you're like, yeah, right, blah, 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 you know what? Try it. Check it out. One thing you'll find, and I, quite frankly, I don't know how anyone has a successful practice without this one tool, which is that 98% of your thoughts, feelings, and emotions don't belong to you, and somewhere between 50 and 100% of the pains in your body don't belong to you. I don't know how anybody out there is getting success on a major scale, or if they are, things come back a lot is one of the things that I noticed with the people that I've worked with. But But without that one tool, I mean, that one tool can change the face of your practice. It can also change the face of your ease being in practice.
Yeah, wow, so true. Because I remember when I was taught all those techniques of not receiving as a therapist, you know, you've got to protect yourself. And there's so many different ways of doing it. Funny one I heard was visualize a river between you and the patient. And I'm like, hey, really, does that river have crocodiles? You know, what kind of fish are in there? I'm like, wow, really? So with access, I for the first time got that, oh, I don't need to protect myself anymore. I can even receive stuff that goes on for the patient that is like depression, abuse, addiction, whatever things that people don't want to come in contact with, even that I can receive, and even that can expand my world. As you know, it doesn't matter who I meet, whether it's a patient or whoever is not having a great hair day, and that is not a problem for me. It's not something I need to contract. I can also receive that. So that is a big, big shift for me, to getting over that river I have to create every time I meet somebody.
I'm so glad you said that, because that one thing for somebody who is practicing can make their life infinitely easier if they no longer have to resist whatever it is that comes up for someone. It's like the possibilities truly become infinite, and the ease of not having to try to picture a river, not having to try to put up barriers. And also, if you look at that energetically, I mean, what does the patient, what does the client feel when you're sitting there going, oh, my God, I hope I don't take on their stuff. Hope I don't take on their stuff. Hope I don't take on their stuff. Oh, my God, I feel like there's a river between us. You know what I mean? Like, energetically, they pick it up because you're sitting there going, oh, I don't want to take on their stuff. Now here's a totally other way of being, where you actually get, once again, that there is a strongness to you as you are, and there's a strongness, there's a reason you became the therapist that you are, and sitting there and going, you know what, I have had trials and tribulations myself. All I really needed more than anything was somebody to be there with me, to walk me by the hand, to walk with me side by side, hold my hand, and let me know that I could do it, and I could go through anything. And I will be there that way with you and for you, client, because I care about you that much, and I see you as having that much capacity that I know you can get through this. I don't need a river between us. I don't need a wall between us. I am here with you 100%. I have your back. And because I'm not resisting any of it, I know none of your stuff is going to stick to me, which means I don't have to run away from it. And guess what? Neither do you anymore.
And that allowance is such a healing thing. It's like walking in the woods and just knowing, oh, I can just be here. So I remember when I was a kid, the only time I could really relax was when I was in nature somewhere. And I would just look for ways to being by myself, because I didn't have the tools of dealing with all the stuff that I would be aware of, because I would, the only thing that would do is drive me crazy. So I would find all kinds of ways to shut me out. And having that tool of not going crazy, of not thinking I'm totally effed up and wrong for the things I'm aware of, just acknowledging that this is an awareness, and meeting people like you and Gary to have that space of allowance that I don't need to escape in the woods anymore, but I can actually be with people, that's huge. Like a while ago I said, oh my God, I enjoy being with people, and that's huge for me. And that is that huge gift of really receiving everything that's going on around you, not thinking it drives you crazy, not thinking you're wrong for whatever you pick up, but really asking, what am I aware of? Because that awareness is such a strong, it's such a gift to the world. I've seen this with me. I've seen it with so, so many people. I mean, the world requires your awareness. Awareness is a cool thing. It's like the internet. You get a lot of information. It's like a huge Google. And this world lives on information, right? It's like when we pay so much money for information in this world, you go on Google and you try to find an expert, whatever, hair expert, nail expert, house expert, and you think, you know, you go to these people, but if you turn on your awareness, your consciousness, you got it all. You have this vast amount of information that is a big GPS that drives you to greater possibilities. And acknowledging that and not using this awareness against you and drive you crazy and make you wrong, but actually use it to make you strong and be a gift to the world, that's what we're shooting for here. And what, you know, like, what contribution are you already to this that you haven't acknowledged?
Like, yeah. I think you said it brilliantly. That's exactly it. You know, that's what we're shooting for. And that really is it's like, that's an aspect of the possibility that's available right now. You know, and one of the other difficulties is that so many people that are in the therapist position have to try to prove that they're right so dynamically that they don't let in new information. They don't let in new information that would be greater for everybody involved. And I think that's one of the other things that we really need to change. You know, if you look at that and recognize that there is this whole other possibility available, I think it would open doors for us to where we could finally embrace all the things out there that we've wanted to that would actually make our practice greater, but nobody, you know, we didn't think we could have because we thought, oh, in order to embrace that, you know, in order to even take something new in, it's because what I did before was wrong. No, it's not. You've been doing the best darn job you can with the tools you have available. And so what if now it's just time to be able to upgrade your tools, not from the old ones being wrong or you being wrong for having chosen them, but from, you know what? What if none of it is wrong? What if it's all a possibility that I can be invited to?
Wow. I remember when I was, you know, coming to my first Access Consciousness classes, and I, you know, just had started as a clinical psychologist, and it was all going well, and career, and all good. And I knew something else was possible, but there was such a rightness in all the years I've studied and all that. And this damn thing of knowing something else is possible kept bugging me. And then I sat at my first class, and I'm like, oh, okay, so what if I let go of all the rightness, even if I studied years and years and years and read all those books, what if I actually let that go, like let the past go, receive the contribution from it at the same time, and ask what else is possible? And this was a huge jump for me to be willing to do that and like not throw away my education, not throw away of what I've studied and learned. That's what I initially thought. I thought it was an either or. Either I throw it away or I, you know, whatever. But it's not an either or, I found. It's receiving the gift of whatever I studied and then going beyond that and adding what I know. And that's the fun game of it. And that's where I see, that expands my world too. And how does it get any better?
Yeah, truly. And then it becomes, wow, what else can I add? What else can I add? Because those of us, you know, listening to this show or on this show, it's like we get really bored really easily. And if you're not continuously bringing in new information, finding new ways to change things, finding new ways to contribute to your clients, finding new ways to, you know, create possibilities for people, all of a sudden you get really bored and you get listless and nothing is fun. And then your sessions decrease, you know, the number of people coming to you decrease and your money decreases and you wonder what's wrong. Well, a lot of that can be changed just by getting the enthusiasm of newness again, or the newness of the different things that are possible that you can learn and that you can bring in and use to assist people. And it's such a shame that we're not taught that in whatever our school is, you know, mine being chiropractic school. It's like, no, it needs to have a double blind study proving it and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, magic has no double blind study. Sorry, nanny, nanny, nanny.
Wow. That's so great. And what lightness that brings to actually embracing the strong and trusting that there is this lightness out there, and you can choose it, and you can inspire yourself and everybody else with it. And Dana, I know you have a telecall going on, Finding the Greatness of You. Can people still join?
Yes, they can. And you go to drdanehere.com. It's spelled like my name is spelled, which is really weird. It's drdanehere.com/teleclasses. We just did the first one. And so if you're interested in joining, you know, you'd listen to the first one and you could join us on the second one, or listen to the first two, join us on the third one, whatever. But I'll tell you that first, I initially called it Expressing Your True Greatness. And what I started recognizing is so many people have so many judgments of themselves that they didn't realize that they had greatness. And so that was the thing that I kept hearing. And so with this, I want, you know what? I want to get people to the awareness that they truly have a greatness to them, that everything they thought was a wrongness is actually a strongness. And I'm actually walking them through and showing them that. And that first call, I've gotten people telling me, I have been stuck for years. This first call has dislodged me. I am moving again. So it's called Finding the Greatness of You, and it's, you know, it's there for assisting all of us in moving forward.
That's so wonderful. I love it. And it so fits with the topic we had today, huh? How does it get any better than that?
I'm impressed.
Yes, consciousness at its best. So, yes. And about telecalls, I just created a telecall too, starting on October 1st. It's called What If Your Insanity Is the Sanity That Changes the World? It's a three-part telecall about the stuff that I do, the pragmatic psychology, and finding out like the crazy and what's actually possible with this, the mental illness and all other craziness, like truly the strong that has been diagnosed and judged and so on. So starting October 1st, and you can find more information on www.susannaminamai.accessconsciousness.com. So,
and I'm saying do it, guys, because Susanna is amazing as a facilitator. So that's my plug. She's really phenomenal. So
thank you, Dr. Dane. Thank you. So thank you so much for being on. And guys, if you want to have more of Dr. Dane here and Gary Douglas, they have a radio show on Voice America as well every Thursday at, is it 2 your time, 2 p.m.?
2 p.m. Pacific.
2 p.m. Pacific.
Pacific time. Yeah.
Cool. So thank you so much for being on today. And we will hear you all, wonderful listeners, next week, same time, same station. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Beyond Saying Thank You. Join us again next Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Be sure to check out accessconsciousness.com to find out more about us and about Access.